This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about biocomputers and this year's hurricane season. But up first, a discovery that sounds like the plot from one of those 1950s nuclear radiation science fiction movies. Remember them? Well, this one is just as fantastic, but it's real. Scientists studying the destroyed Chernobyl nuclear reactor were surprised to discover a fungus growing, not just growing, it was thriving on the highly radioactive walls of the reactor. Should we be afraid the fungus is going to grow and escape the confines of the reactor and eat everything in sight? Here's where science comes in. How is the fungus able to not only survive the radiation, how is it able to use it as food? That's what my next guest wants to know. The research is being published online in this week's Public Library of Science 1, and here to talk about it is one of the authors. Ekaterina Dadachova is an associate professor of nuclear medicine and of microbiology and immunology at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx. She joins us today from her office. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me, Ira. I'm happy to be here.
Well, Dr. Dadachova, tell us about this. How does it survive the radiation? Why isn't it killed by the radiation, and how does it eat it?
Well, it survives for the simple reason that the doses of radiation inside the reactor in many places where this melanized fungi thrive, they're not that high to kill the fungus because fungi are extremely radio-resistant. I will give you an example. For example, to kill one of the fungi which we used in our paper, one needs to deliver around 1 million rads. This is the unit in which radiation exposure is measured. And the dose inside the Chernobyl reactor right now is only approximately one rad per day. So one need to radiate fungi for millions of days. So these doses are really beneficial for them if they can use radiation in their metabolism, but they're not fungicidal. They do not kill fungi.
Now, we know that fungi, you know, they feast on dead wood and other things, but we never suspected they feasted on radiation, did we?
No, we never suspected it, but my collaborator, Dr. Kasadeval, with whom we do this research, he actually suspected that, you know, fungi can use radiation as an energy source when he was reading about this melanized fungi colonizing the destroyed reactor in Chernobyl, the soils around it, and later on we found reports that there are actually findings of melanized fungi in Arctica, in Antarctica, in high elevation. But what actually is in common between all those areas is the lack of other conventional nutrients, for example, this dead wood as you're referring to. Mm-hmm. So those fungi would be seeking other additional sources of energy, and apparently they will be finding them in ionized radiation.
Now, the key here seems to be, you've mentioned it a couple of times, melanin. These fungi have melanin in them.
Yes, these fungi have melanin. Melanin is a pigment. Its name is derived from the Greek word for melanos, which is black. So it is a black to dark brown pigment. And in our experiments, we have shown in several species of fungi that it is actually the presence of melanin which allows those fungi to use the energy of ionizing radiation in their life cycle. If we used control fungi, the same fungi, but without melanin, they couldn't utilize the benefits of being in the radiation field.
Is this the same kind of melanin that we have on our skin to turn it darker or makes our skin dark?
Well, melanin is actually a very enigmatic pigment because there is no crystal structure of melanin, no good spectra of melanin because it's impossible to crystallize it. But it has been shown by many studies that there are lots of similarities between melanin, which is found in human skin, in nevi, in hair, and in also in fungi. So it shares a lot of structural similarities.
Mm-hmm. So does the melanin function in the fungi by absorbing the radiation, much like chlorophyll would function in a green plant by absorbing the sunlight?
Well, at this stage, we do not know the mechanism, but this is an analogy which seems to be correct, because one needs to have a pigment which serves as a transducer of energy, and that's what chlorophyll does during photosynthesis, transduce the energy of visible light into the chemical energy the plants are using. And here it seems to be that melanin is capable of transducing the energy of ionizing radiation into the chemical energy with fungi are capable to utilize.
Well, let's move ahead and talk about what useful stuff could come out of this discovery.
Well, for example, one can imagine that those fungi or other organisms which are capable of utilizing radiation, they can be used for production of biofuels, for example. Now, like, biofuels is a growing area, but if one start to grow all these biofuels on the good land, you know, that wouldn't be really energy efficient. But on the other hand, there are a lot of wasted land where, you know, nothing can be grown. There are all this underground storage of radioactive byproducts of nuclear cycle, for example. That's where one can imagine growing all those fungi and using them for biofuel. Simultaneously, it is possible now, we know that genetic engineering of food crops is going ahead at full speed. So one can imagine that the system will be engineered where the crops will have gene responsible for melanin in their genome, and they will be able to grow using ionizing radiation instead of visible light, for example. And this could be used in space flights and other application where growing crops conventionally is difficult.
How much radiation do you need? Can it grow in – so it cannot grow in background radiation. It needs a higher radiation, as you say, in these nuclear waste sites.
Well, it can grow. We have to actually determine what would be the optimal levels of radiation for this fungi, but it seems that they can be grown in a really broad range of radiation fluxes, from something which is tolerable to even humans to really high levels, because there are reports in literature that this melanized fungi, for example, live in the cooling pools of nuclear reactors. And over there, the radiation dose is so high that, you know, even this, like, destroyed reactor in Chernobyl is not even getting close to that.
Could we then think about, let's think of something that's out of this world, and we're always looking for life in outer space and the harsh environments that are out there.
Right.
Could these fungi really be, you know, resistant to not just radiation but other harsher environments that we might look for them in other worlds?
Melanin is known to be a protector from, you know, many insults, environmental insults. It protects microorganisms, like when they invade other organisms, from all these antimicrobial defenses which the organisms are trying to put up. So melanin can protect against a lot of things, and it is known, and it has been actually used in practice, that it can absorb very harsh UV rays, for example. And it absorbs all visible light. That's why it is black. So it is possible that those particular microorganisms can withstand a lot of different insults which they will encounter in the space. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, as you say before, of having a melanin fungi biomass producers, you know, for energy.
Yeah, because, you know, ionizing radiation is everywhere at a certain levels, higher or lower, depending on what areas you are talking about. And it is just wasted. You know, it's been decayed and not used for anything.
Yes. Sitting in pools and barrels all over the world.
Yes, exactly.
Does the fungi itself become radioactive and dangerous when it sits so close to this stuff?
No, fungi, that's I want to stress, you know, for the listeners, that fungi cannot become radioactive because all they do is they utilize the, for example, gamma radiation, which has been already emitted by radioactive sources. And what they are doing, they just utilizing the energy of ionizing radiation. Radiation is energy. It's the source of radiation. That's a completely separate thing. So fungi are just using it exactly in the same manner as we discussed earlier, the green plants would be using the visible light. So it has nothing to do with fungi becoming radioactive themselves. Mm.
Is there enough radiation in outer space that we might grow the fungi in a spaceship if we're going to Mars or someplace like that and use it as an energy source?
Oh, yeah, in outer space there is a lot of radiation. Actually, it is known that radiation exposure of even those who fly on passenger jets, you know, often they are approaching the radiation exposure of professional radiation workers like myself, for example. So there is a lot of radiation out there for fungi to thrive. Yeah.
So where do you go from here? What's your next thing? How do you take this one step further?
Well, what we would like to do now is actually to try and figure out the mechanism of this process. Because, for example, to figure out the mechanism of photosynthesis, it took the work of several groups and several decades. Well, we hope that, you know, other research groups will become interested in this particular phenomena. And with a combined effort, we will be able to figure out the mechanism of this fascinating process, which will allow to use it for practical applications sooner than later.
And which was then basically discovered by accident.
Well, I wouldn't say it by accident because, you know, as I said, this is a collaborative work. And my lab is very interested in using radiation for, say, therapy for different purposes. Dr. Kasadewal, who is a prominent microbiologist, he has a longstanding interest in melanin. So at a certain point, you know, these two interests, they, you know, would come together, and
right.
they did. And I guess it's now becoming more and more obvious that microorganisms are very flexible and they can use different sources of energy. Say, last year there was a report that microorganisms live at the bottom of the ocean.
I've got to interrupt because we're running out of time, but this is very...
Yes, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you. Yes. Dr. Ekaterina Dadachova, Associate Professor of Nuclear Medicine at Albert Einstein College. We're going to come back. More science fiction-like stuff. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.